Greetings this morning again in Christ's name. Again, a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I've been inspired, been challenged in being here already this morning. All right, turn with me again to Galatians chapter 5. I want to continue on in our study on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, again, read these familiar verses. This is not necessarily my text this morning. We'll be turning to Luke chapter 6, I believe it is, for more of a text verse here in a bit. But I thought it'd be good for us to, again, look at these verses. It's been a little bit since we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. A little bit of a reminder of some of the things that we've talked about. Galatians chapter 5, read verses 20 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we went through, we looked at love, joy, peace, we discussed those, long-suffering, we talked about gentleness or kindness, and now we're ready for goodness, the Spirit fruit of goodness. These are all very intertwined. It is the fruit of the Spirit. They are all one. But we kind of have, I don't know, I kind of liked, maybe I said this in one of the other times that we talked, but I like to think of it as a slice of an orange. They all make up one. This morning we're looking at this of goodness, the Spirit fruit of goodness. Well, again, as I've thought, and some of the others as well, how do you preach on goodness? What is goodness? Well, a number of things that Scripture does have to say about goodness. Does goodness, are you a good person? Does goodness flow from you to others? Is that an expression of your heart that is obvious? We want to look at that. Those are some things to think about. Again, just to kind of get our minds thinking and kind of in order here, when the Apostle Paul writes this letter here, especially this portion of the letter in chapter 5, he is talking about a spiritual journey. He is describing to us about what it means to live, or to, particularly here, to walk in the Spirit. He says in one passage that if you live by the Spirit, well, he says it right here in verse 25, if you live by the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit. They go hand in hand. If you are really living in the Spirit, you will also walk that way. So if you think about it, what does it mean? What does it mean to live? Or when you live, you are what? Anyone? What comes to your mind? If you are living, you are what? You're alive. There's life there. You are alive. There is life. There is breath. That is what Paul is saying. In essence, he is saying, okay, children of God, brothers, sisters, Pine Grove, wherever you may be from, if you are alive by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you've been born again. Then he says to walk. Walk. Walk indicates what? As I pondered that, I believe it indicates newness of life. What does that look like? Is it just being here in church this morning? Is it just sitting there and on the benches with a big smile on your face? Well, this morning it's a whole lot more than that. There's action involved. There is, well, being active for Christ. It says walk. In other words, I see from that we're moving. There's not just, we don't come just to a point where we're standing there and there's no action involved. But if there's newness of life, if there's a walking after Christ, there will be action. There will be moving. There will be walking. Okay, so if we are alive, then let's be active in this life that has that has been renewed, that has been made new. Let's make this real. Let's make this personal to us this morning. We can say a lot of things. You know, I can stand up here and say a lot of things, but if my life does not reflect that newness of life, if my life does not reflect that the fruit of the Spirit, then immediately there are questions, and rightfully so. So that is what Paul is saying. Children of God, if you have been made alive, now walk. You have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is your power. That is what makes it possible that you can live and you can walk in this new life. And he's saying here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that the result of this kind of life are these things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, goodness, all of those. So that's the result of having that newness of life. That's what we've been looking at as we've been going through these. And the question I would again present to us is that evident in my life? Is the fruit of the Spirit tangible? Is it more than just something that we talk about? What I mean by that is, can people see it? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident? As I went through this, studying it, I was just challenged in many of these areas. It's obvious to me that I need to grow. I need to grow in these areas, and we probably all can say that. Maybe we find it hard. Well, let's not be discouraged. Now, it is true that unless fruit is productive and very good, Jesus himself says that unless you are attached to me and continue to be attached to me, your branches will not produce fruit. And he talks about pruning. There will be pruning, both to get rid of the dead things, the bad stuff, and also to produce better. So let's not get discouraged when we see in our life possibly a lack in some of these things. But on the other hand, let's not excuse ourselves. Neither do we just say, well, this is just who I am. We are renewed. We are living. That means that we are producing. We need to be. So let's take courage. It's a journey. God does not stand over us with a club and beat us over the head when we aren't quite there. But again, neither does he just look away and not prune us, but he shapes us and prunes us so that we can produce more fruit. May we respond correctly to those times. And so Paul is, I believe, in this portion of Scripture, Paul is asking us to take inventory to see how we are doing. And this morning we look at the fruit of goodness. Goodness. Really, recently I was reading some about the times when there was much racial tensions and how much people endured through all of that. Sometimes we still hear of some racial tensions, but it's a lot different than what it was years ago. And I come across an account in my reading that I thought of when I was studying this. I thought somewhat fitting here, and I usually don't use illustrations in my messages about sports, but that's what this is, referring to a game of sports. But in the year of 1947, 1948, in there somewhere, a team by the name of the Brooklyn Dodgers traveled to Cincinnati to play a game of Major League Baseball. And on the Brooklyn Dodgers baseball team was a young man that was black. Now, keep in mind, this was in 1947 or 1948. And he was one of the first black men to play Major League Baseball. And his name was Jackie Robinson. Jackie was a very talented young man, and it took a lot of persuasion for him to even be able to join the team. But there was a number of men, two men in particular, on that team that convinced their coach and the owners of the team to hire Jackie to play first base. Well, that day when they went to play in Cincinnati, the Brooklyn Dodgers took the field first, and as they walked out, the crowd It said there was thousands and thousands of spectators. Well, they began to really make a lot of noise. They began to boo and catcall and call out derogatory names to this first black man that was to play that game. And so they walked out and took their places. Jackie was a first baseman, and the shortstop that was right close to him there for this team, it was a white man. He walked over to Jackie, and as the crowd was booing and yelling and not being very nice, he went over to this black man, and he just kind of pulled him to himself, put his arm around him, and he stood there and faced the crowd of spectators. And the entire stadium immediately went quiet, just dead silence. Well, I ask you this morning, is that goodness? Is that goodness? When that man walked over to the black man and put his arm around him, stood by him, that shortstop man was a white man. And back in that day, you didn't do things like that. You simply did not. There was a lot of differences. In fact, many times the black people took other buses. They slept in other motels. I read that they even had their separate drinking fountains. They went to separate schools, so on and so forth. Racial tension was very high. And history gives us glimpses and pictures of things like that, things that took place. Men and women then, there were individuals, men and women, who stood for good, who walked over and put their arms, as it were, around the black people in the heat of segregation and stood with them. And in this case, it shut the mouths of many people. And there's many stories about that. We see that, glimpses of that in history. Well, the question I guess I would ask in that is, did that make that shortstop man a good man? Did that really make him a good man? You know, we see something like that. Maybe we see something similar to that today. And something within us says, yes, that's right. That's good. That's the way it should be. Each one of us, human beings, as we, throughout life, throughout history, we have read and we have seen and observed different things like that. And every time we see it, something kind of within us, it connects within us, and we say, yes, that's right. What is that? Well, I guess as I thought about that, I believe this morning that is simply the conscience that God has put, He has put within us. We are created in His image, and as out of tune as we can become sometimes, our spiritual compass, I guess we could say, quite sure how to say exactly what I'm thinking here, but our spiritual compass immediately spins true north in a spiritual sense, and we say that's right, and that's good. That is goodness coming out. I would like to further suggest this morning that in every one of us, whether we are a sinner, unsaved, and for sure when we are born again, there is deep within each of us, the part of us that is created in God's image that still sees and is drawn towards goodness. There's something about that catches our attention. We're drawn towards that goodness, towards right things. We know, we understand, it makes sense. If you're not born again, you don't necessarily maybe connect it spiritually, but somehow in our inner man, it makes sense that it is right and good. And that is, I believe that's why that crowd went very quiet. They knew it was right and it was good. They knew that that's the way it should be. Now, does that mean it was goodness like it talks about here in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? I don't necessarily believe so. Goodness, as it's talked about here in Galatians, is much deeper than that. It is character. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 6. Just a few verses. I believe it's three verses here. Luke chapter 6. This is more my foundational text this morning. three verses here that we want to look at. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Do you understand what he's saying here? It's simple, straightforward. Verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. In other words, you don't get apples from an orange tree. It does not mix. That is not what happens. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. And the last verse here is what I want us to really take a hold of. And again, remember, this is Jesus talking. He's talking about the fruit that is evident in individuals' lives. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what about me this morning? What about you? What does my character look like? Those of us that have been born again, are you a good person? Does goodness come from within you? Does goodness flow from you? That shortstop that walked over and put his arm around Jackie Robinson, I have no doubt that he was, well, he was probably a good man in a lot of ways. But I guess I don't really have any idea if he was born again or not. Chances are he may not have been, but I have no idea really. But it does seem like character was a bigger deal back then. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like character was a bigger deal back then than what it is now. In today's world, it seems like character has become something that, well, it doesn't really matter so much. Many don't seem to really care what kind of character they have. It just really, what matters is who I am. It just matters who I am. You know, if that shortstop out of the goodness of his heart went over there and put his arm around Jackie Robinson, then it stands to reason that if he was truly fulfilling the goodness of the Spirit, it stands to reason that the rest of his life would follow suit, that goodness would flow out continually, and he would be the kind of man, the kind of person that everyone was drawn to because of the character deep within. You see, just because of one act of kindness, of goodness, does not mean that I am a good man. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't mean necessarily, just because that one act does not necessarily mean that goodness flows from me. Even wicked men can do good works. We know that. Even evil people can do good things. You understand what I'm saying? But when I become born again and the Spirit begins to work and move in me and to produce within me fruit, then all of a sudden it becomes who I am. It becomes, it is character. It is deep within who I am. And out of that is what Paul was saying. Live then. Walk by that. Walk by. Do that. That is what you are. So that is what you produce. So where does that come from? I think maybe we need to go back a little and get some background, get some foundation. If we are saying then that goodness does not come from us and that evil men can do it, where does this fruit of goodness come from? And that's the first point here in my outline, I guess. I would like to suggest this morning that the character comes from God Himself. And my first point is this: God's character is our potential. Think about that. God's character is our potential. What I want to do here is I want us to understand that it is from God Himself, that goodness comes because, why? Because God is good. That's why it comes from Him. In order for us to understand the definition of goodness, I believe we probably have to compare it to some things, because, I don't know, for me anyway, goodness is kind of difficult to really define. But I come across this quote: a A quote from Edward Cornell says, "God never urges himself to be good. He is good. His nature always does righteousness, and God never is torn by evil motives." Unquote. God never has to urge himself to be good. He never has to say, "Okay, today I'm going to be good. Today I won't punish them." No, it's always good. God is good. His very character is good. And so the connection for us this morning is that if God is good, and we are to emulate that character or show that character through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, how do we get that? Well, it's very simple. It's straightforward. That connection is through Jesus Christ, Son Jesus Christ. God the Father is goodness, and he demonstrates his goodness by sending his Son, Jesus, to do what? To simply redeem mankind from sin and damnation and bring them back to himself so that that newness of life that we talked about can happen. And the Holy Spirit, at that time when an individual receives that faith, the Holy Spirit enters in and there's power. There's power there to continue walking, moving, being active, to live this life, and fruit then begins to be produced. How does that work? Psalm 34, verse 8. Familiar verse. You don't need to necessarily turn to that, but it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." And I like that there, that thought of taste and see. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And this kind of, I guess, opened it up in my mind anyway. It kind of gave me an idea here on how this might work. As I think of tasting, what does it mean to taste? When you taste something, what happens? How do you taste the Lord? Oh, taste and see, it says. How do you do that? So I thought of the life of the psalmist. I believe he was very familiar with life and how bad life at times treated him. And in all of that, he praised God. You read the rest of the psalm, Psalm 34 there, and it's amazing how he cries out to the Lord, and he's delivered again and again, numerous times. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Well, the first way that we do it, and I already spoke about it just briefly, the first way that I believe you and I taste and experience the Lord's goodness is by coming to him. Coming to him in repentance and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. That is the first way. That is the first way we taste. Without that, we're done. We won't go any further. We're lost. We all know that. And all of a sudden, when that experience happens that we come to the Lord in repentance and receive him, well, it's amazing. Things happen. Things take place. Many of us here have have experienced that tasting and seeing the Lord is good in that way. God is good, and he demonstrated it to us, and he invites us to taste of who he is and his goodness in accepting the plan of salvation through his Son Jesus. Another way that we taste and see that the Lord is good is when we experience his goodness from each other. And I like this thought. My mind went to numerous things. We don't have time to necessarily spend a lot of time on this, but experience his goodness from each other. When I experience the goodness of God from you into my life, when you speak to me in exhortation, when you speak to me in encouragement, like we heard here a number of weeks ago about the art of encouragement, when you walk alongside of me in my discouragement, when we do that with each other, when you come and offer assistance in the things that I'm dealing with, you offer encouraging assistance, it is then that we are experiencing the goodness of God, is it not? I believe it is. I taste and see the goodness of God in that way. When I see things like that shortstop man walking over to the black man, we can see the goodness of God. God is good, and all things that are good that happen are of God. It's God's character being displayed to us. God is good, and we are called to show that same character. The fruit of the Spirit, which is God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. Do we get the connection of connecting all of this together? Well, we see it in those ways. We also see that he wants us to demonstrate this fruit of goodness to others. When we are born again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which purifies our minds, and it produces fruit. So, what does the character of goodness look like? What does goodness look like in your life personally? What does it look like in my life? What characteristics does it have? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? How does goodness act? How does it respond to life? I've written down about, I think it's six different things. Number one, a person that has the fruit of goodness is a person of generosity. I want to make this practical to us here today. But a person that has the fruit of goodness is a person of generosity. Are you a generous person? And yes, I'm talking about your finances and your things. But I'm also talking about how generous you are with yourself, not just your finances and your possessions. But are you generous in allowing yourself to be used in the lives of other people? Are you actively involved, sacrificially involved in other people's lives? Or is it just kind of easy to hold a tight fist under myself and maneuver in such a way that, you know, it just, well, I can't let it require too much of me? That does not smell like goodness to me. Goodness is a generous person. A person who has the spirit of goodness is generous in all areas of life. An open hand. His eyes are wide open. He observes the needs that are around him. He is very willing to be sacrificed for the sake of others. He wants others to be better. I tried to think of a number of examples, or some examples in Scripture. Barnabas came to my mind. I believe he was one that demonstrated that. I was going to turn to some examples of his life. I don't think I'll take the time to do that. But he was very concerned about the churches, and he knew that Paul was the answer to some of those churches, and he wanted Paul to go. A number of things took place there. Well, Barnabas, I believe, was considered a good man. The second thing about what goodness, the character of goodness looks like, number two, a person that has the fruit of goodness is not envious of others. Am I envious this morning? Envy can hit us in so many ways. It can be displayed in many areas. Do you get envious when you know someone else has been asked to do something above you? Are you envious of someone else's wealth? What are some things that you are envious about? I could probably name a couple for myself, things that I need to deal with, I continually need to deal with. Well, a person that has the fruit of the Spirit is not envious. He does not assert himself. He does not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He thinks more highly of others. The third thing, and it's very closely connected with this of envy, but a person with the fruit of goodness gives when it is not deserved. He gives when it is not deserved. Do you kind of get the picture here that God is in all of this? God gave. God gave when I did not deserve. He gave when we did not deserve. He is very generous, very open-handed to you and me. Does not lord it over us. Wants us to be his children. is that fruit that he, is that the fruit, or is that fruit that he wants us, it is fruit that he wants us to produce, this fruit of goodness. Goodness gives when it is not deserved. Number four, goodness does not begrudge. It does not live a begrudging life. It does not have a critical spirit. It does not look at things with a grudge. It does not feel taken advantage of. It does not quickly do those things. It does not begrudge. Number five, goodness suffers with others. Think about that. Goodness suffers with others. How can I do that? How can I make that practical? A person that has the fruit of goodness suffers well with others. When someone else is hurting, it goes alongside and sits down with them and feels the pain. It's a part of it. It sheds the tears. It weeps with those that weep. Struggle with those that struggle. Goodness suffers with others. That's one that I need to grow in. Number six, goodness is anchored in humility. And maybe this one should have been first. I don't know. It covers a lot of the rest of these things. But goodness is anchored in humility. The person that has the fruit of goodness is a humble person. He sees himself as a person in the back, trying to lift others up, wanting to be in the background and make others more prominent. He helps others become successful, and he enjoys that. He enjoys seeing when others succeed. He is very happy in the background. If you want to see what goodness looks like, go look for a person that has scars on his hands, that has scars on his feet, and scars on his heart. Go look for that person. That is the person who has suffered with others. That is the person who has given himself and shared generously to help others, to help me and to help you. It is the person who is radiant and knows true happiness. That is the person of a pure mind and a strong character and a changed heart. And that is, such can only come from a changed life in Christ. A life that has come to God, come to the foot of the cross. That is the only way we can experience the fruit of the Spirit. That is the only way we can experience this thing of goodness. So this morning, we end with the question, are you a person of goodness? Does goodness flow through you? Well, challenge us each to evaluate ourselves in this. Of course, we need to ask the age-old question, what would others say about you? What would others say about me? What does your wife say about you, your children? I know it's most important what God says about us, but I believe we can relate to this thing, and we need to think about it. You may get tired of me asking that question, but the fact is, left alone to answer these questions about what others, these other people think about us in this, in relation to the fruit of the Spirit, I'm afraid that our heart can kind of deceive us. You know, well, I'm not quite that bad. I could grow a little bit, but really I'm not that bad. But when we have to answer that question as to what others say about me in this, whoever, it requires some hard answers, and really that is the reality of life. And this morning I have experienced much goodness from others, and I'm thankful for that. It's been a blessing to my life. I've experienced much goodness from you as a brotherhood. And I guess I feel like the Apostle Paul when he says in Romans 12, I believe it is, I forget exactly how he says it, but he commends the church in Rome for their much goodness. And I feel that way here, but let's not fall down. Let's not fall down in asking ourselves the hard questions. Do I really? Am I really portraying goodness? And there's something about a solid character and a person that is full of goodness that is just pleasant for all of us to be around. May we grow in that area of goodness. Let's kneel for prayer.